The title of this course is Creative Teaching Methods. This course serves as teacher training session number 5 for the group studies for new Christians. There is a PowerPoint presentation and a note sheet to use as you listen to this tape. Visit the website iteenchallenge.org and go to the staff training section to locate this course and the list of items you can download to use for personal study or for teaching others in your ministry. This session was taped at the Regional Teachers Seminar in Lincoln, Alabama in October 2008. The presenter is Greg Fisher.
Lecture to Creative Discipleship Training. And so we're going to try to give you some helps, and part of it is going to be some interaction here at the tables too, to get some ideas. What are the three biggest problems, needs, and challenges you face as a teacher? And let's get some answers. I don't have any answers for you on this. Time, okay, a very good one. And if you want to jot some of these down in your notes, that would be helpful. Time, that's a problem, a need. Yes?
Funding for curriculum,
okay.
Schedule
changes and not having the power to make decisions. Not being in power. Those are frustrations, aren't they? And challenges. Yes? What's that? Coming up with hands-on activities. Very good. We hope we can help you with that today. That's one of the things we want to do. Oh, okay. Rabbit trails? Oh, they love that, don't they? You know, I like that too, though. I mean, sometimes that's fun, isn't it? You just got to steer it back to the subject sometimes. So, and sometimes you can have time for that. Now, Dave's not in here right now, is he? This might be another edit. But Dave recommends 1 hour for group studies. And I kept thinking, I've been teaching group studies for 27 years. An hour is pretty hard to get it in. I mean, I'll say it's impossible. Now, Patty, don't tell on me, okay? You're going to? Well, I told Dave this the other day. I said, you know, Dave, I know why you say an hour, because when you started teaching this stuff, they were short classes. But you've edited two or three times and added three times the material, and you can't teach it in an hour anymore. And so we typically had allowed an hour and a half in our center, and if some courses might even need a little bit more. And so we had a flexible class schedule where we had our center had 4 hours a day for classes. But I've centers with just 3 hours a day. If you need an hour and a half for group studies, then go an hour and a half for personal studies. Or if you just need an hour, well, then take a break and then head to personal studies. But I think there's room for flexibility there, and you want to do a good job. Now, I've seen some centers will take 2 weeks for a class. I don't think that's necessary. I've seen some centers take a month for a group studies class. And I think that is really stretching it. I think what we need to do is get some help for you, get some other classes in there so you can beef up your curriculum. But those are challenges. Other challenges, needs, or problems you face? These are some pretty good ones, though, aren't they? Well, here's an issue. 4 challenges to move beyond. Did I miss something? Okay. 4 challenges to move beyond lecture to creative discipleship training. First challenge, what is your goal as a teacher? And ultimately, I'm going to move on with this. What is your goal as a teacher? The ultimate goal here is to develop students who are lifelong learners. We want our students to take the initiative and really want to continue this discipleship process beyond Teen Challenge. And so that is partly our responsibility to develop that kind of hunger in our students so that they will continue to learn, continue to read, continue to be discipled and allow themselves to have their lives being spoken into in the local church setting, in other means. One way to do that is to model it yourself. Are you doing things to continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord? Are you continuing to take classes to improve? Teen Challenge, in a sense, requires that we continue to have staff training, but it can go even beyond that. Maybe taking some classes at a local community college or a Bible college or online courses. Are you reading on a consistent basis, reading other books? I usually have about 5 books that I'm trying to read about the same time, so I kind of wade through these things. But all of these kinds of things, are you talking to your students about these when you're teaching? I mean, many times when I'm preaching and teaching, I'm mentioning stuff that I just read, things that I'm excited about in reading. I haven't done it in a long time, but I used to even go to our library that was in our classroom and kind of recommend different books, you know, because the students have no clue what all of those books are there for. And very few times you have students that are really interested in reading some of these. And I would pull out a few and say, hey, this is a really good book. Tell them a little bit about it. This one here is a really good book. Tell them a little bit about it. And just kind of give them some recommendations. And that is a great way to interest some of your students in an ongoing and being a lifelong learner. 3 goals. Teach people how to think. Teach people how to think. The second one, teach people how to learn. And the third, teach people how to work. Now, for many of the students that we have in Teen Challenge, this is a whole new thing to them. I mean, they may have grown up going to church. They may have been in Sunday school for years. Some of our students have been in Christian school. But to be in discipleship classes like we have in Teen Challenge, that's a whole different thing. I don't know about you. I mean, I went to Bible college before I started working in Teen Challenge. And I'd been in Sunday school. And I'd even studied for the priesthood as a Catholic before all of that. And lived in a seminary too many years ago. And all of these things. And I got to Teen Challenge, and they gave me the Growing Through Failure class my second week at the induction center and said, you're teaching this next week. And I looked at that stuff and I started teaching that stuff and I thought, wow, this is really good stuff. How come I never heard this stuff in Bible college or in Sunday school or in church over the years? You know, I mean, we got to the class on personal relationships with others and attitudes and anger and personal rights. And it's like, wow, this is really good stuff. And, I mean, I don't know about you, but, I mean, a lot of times when you're teaching this, God's trying to teach you something at the same time. Has that ever happened to you? You know, sometimes I'd be having a difficult week about something, and my wife would ask me, well, what group studies are you teaching this week? She kind of knew how that worked. But, you know, it's a whole new concept to our students. And so part of what we're doing is not just teaching information, but we're teaching this lifelong discipleship process. It's not when we end Teen Challenge we're all set to go, but that's just the beginning of being discipled then in the local church and being discipled by other means. So that just brings us up to that beginning point. Second challenge, how do people learn? Now, we had a whole session on that a little while ago. But teens and adults are best motivated to learn when the learning situation is problem-centered. Problem-centered. You know, they're solving problems. They want to be able to see how this can, you know, they want to figure it out. They want to think it through. I thought that was excellent stuff that we had this morning. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to present different ways that can involve everyone in the classroom. Stimulate self-discovery learning, not just content mastery. Discussion is a good way. Question and answer is a good way. Sometimes being the devil's advocate, where you're putting out different things and you're causing your students to have to think it through and come up with answers. I loved it when we had temptation class. And I would come into class and I'd say, okay, and give an idea of some type of temptation. Okay, and you're God, you're God trying to tell me why I shouldn't fall into this temptation. Give me some reasons. And so they're giving me different reasons. And I'll, it's kind of the illustration that's there in the temptation thing. And this is the devil, and he's got different reasons. And then we'd say, well, now, who's got the better reasons? And a lot of times the guys on the devil's side would have better reasons than, it would just really cause people to think, well, why should we resist temptation? What's the use of resisting temptation? It's really hard to resist temptation. It's a lot easier to give into it, isn't it? Let's just go for it. But we have to get to motivation. And that would be my whole point behind this. Because if we're developing a relationship with Jesus Christ, we don't want anything to hinder that relationship. And that's our ultimate motivation, is our love for God, is why we don't want to sin. But if we kind of look at other reasons, that they really don't add up to a whole lot. Traditional versus creative discipleship. Okay, well, traditional is teach, assign, and do. Teach, assign, and do. Creative discipleship is assign, do, and teach. The teach part, the learning part, becomes afterwards. During the assignment, during the doing of it, that's why we're doing this. That's what this is all about. Self-discovery. Comments or questions any place along the line? We don't want to have this just be one-sided here. Yes, sir. Elaborate on that. Part of it is in moving in away from just the teaching and the Greek philosophy of education where the teacher has all the answers, is that part of it is for the student to discover what those answers are. And so part of it is in the study, in the assignments that they're doing, that they are discovering how this applies to their life. They're seeing, and sometimes it depends on how these questions are formulated, how the assignments are formulated. But it gets away from just the teacher and the text being the authority in it and allowing the student to find out how this works. We're going to get into that just a little bit more as we move on, too. Other comments? Yes. Not necessarily classwork-minded. It could be in other activities. It could be putting together a skit. It could be a presentation to the class. There's a number of different ways that this can be done. It could be in some questions that the students are discussing among themselves. One of the courses that's not really part of the curriculum, but Dave had written this a number of years ago, was on AIDS, How Should Christians Respond? And it was a course that we continued to use at our center over the years. And one of the exercises in that was actually doing a role play where you'd choose some students before class and talk to them privately and ask them to play the part of a student with AIDS, but not tell anybody. And then you would choose small groups in the classroom, and they would talk about people's attitudes towards persons with AIDS. And one of these students would be in each of those groups. And so they would be participating in that group with the mindset is that they have AIDS, but nobody else knows. Then you got to the second discussion time, and the second discussion time was where they would reveal, and we actually had a sign that they would wear, I have AIDS. And the second set of discussion questions focused on them. What did it feel like sitting here hearing our comments and you had AIDS? And then some of the questions were also focused toward this person as to, what did you think about that? How would you tell your family? How would you tell your girlfriend or your wife? And so on and so forth. And then the third set of questions was in general for that group, how can we minister to people with AIDS? But over and over, every time I saw that activity, I saw how effective that was You could talk all day long about a person's attitudes towards people with AIDS, but when they sat in those little groups and they talked about that, and then this guy puts this sign on saying, I have AIDS, all of a sudden it made it personal. It made it personal to them because it was one of their friends that had AIDS, and it made it personal what they said to this person, what they said, and this guy could report back what he was feeling, what he was thinking. And it was a powerful way to teach that without the teacher saying anything. I enjoyed it because I could walk around and listen, and so it was a fun activity for me as well. And then we'd have a report back, and people would share some of the responses. And it was a great discussion time and very easy to do. Learn how to listen to your students. That can be hard sometimes, especially when you have students that... And you ever have a student that just kind of asks the left field question? I mean, it has absolutely nothing to do with what you're talking about. I mean, it is like way out there. And it's worse than a rabbit trail. I mean, this has absolutely nothing to do with anything you're talking about. Now, even a student like that, my answer typically would be, I would love to talk to you about that, and that's not what we're actually talking about today, and we have a lot of material to cover, but let's get together afterwards and talk about that. I'd be happy to talk about that. And typically that would be all that needed to be said, and we could move on. And most of the time the other students kind of knew where all this was coming from too. So they'd give you a knowing smile. I want to talk about a little illustration here that I've used in the class, How Can I Know I'm a Christian? Developing a relationship with Jesus or a friendship with Jesus. Joseph Scriven. Have any of you ever heard of Joseph Scriven? And hopefully I can do this. Well, Joseph Scriven is the man who wrote What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I'm sure most of us are familiar with that hymn, is that right? But are you familiar with the story behind it? More than a century ago, on the streets of Port Hope, Ontario, a man could be seen walking along carrying a saw and a sawhorse. One day, a rich man from across the street saw him and said to his friend, "He looks like a sober man. I think I'll hire him to cut wood for me." "Well, that's Joseph Scriven," the friend replied, "and he wouldn't cut wood for you. He only cuts wood for those who don't have money to pay him." And that sums up the philosophy of Joseph Scriven. He was a devoted member of the Plymouth Brethren Church who took the Sermon on the Mount literally. He was born in Dublin, Ireland in 1819, fell for a lovely young woman, but on the eve of their wedding, she accidentally drowned. He never recovered from the shock. He began to wander, hoping to forget his sorrow. At age 25, he finally settled in Canada. His faith led him to do menial tasks for poor widows and the sick. He often took no wages and was regarded by the people of the community as a kind but albeit odd man. He later fell in love again, planned to marry a wonderful Canadian woman, but his fiancée died after contracting pneumonia. In 1955, a friend visited an ill Scriven and discovered a poem that he had written to his ailing mother in faraway Ireland. Scriven didn't have the money to visit her, but he sent her the poem as an encouragement. He called it "Pray Without Ceasing." When the friend inquired about the poem's origins, Scriven reportedly answered, "The Lord and I did it between us." Scriven never intended for the poem to be published, but it made its rounds and was set to music in 1868 by musician Charles Converse, who titled it "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It has since become one of our greatest hymns. Now, when you think about what this man went through, you think he really had a personal relationship with Jesus to write that song And that song has been a favorite of many people for a long, long time. And you know what? He ironically died of an accidental drowning himself. And in his memory, the people of Port Hope erected a monument with this inscription from his song: "In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou wilt find a solace there." Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you is when I talk about developing a friendship with Jesus, almost all of our students are still familiar with that old hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And most of the time, I'll actually put the words up and I'll say, "Hey, let's sing this song." And we'll sing the first verse, and I say, "Well, let me tell you the story behind the song." And there's a lot of wonderful stories behind the hymns, too. And so you could even use some of the other ones. "It Is Well With My Soul." Terrible tragedy behind that song. And a powerful song. So, next, what do we have? What creative methods of teaching do you use? There's a piece of paper there with a big long list. Do you see that? And there are blanks there on that list. And what I'd like you to do is take some time among yourselves at your table and share some methods that you use. And maybe we can share a few with the whole group if we run across some really wonderful methods here. And then we'll talk about that for a little bit. So let's take about 4 or 5 minutes and do that right now. If you'll share one idea with us that somebody else hasn't shared already. And we just want to get one idea from each table. Now please write these down on your paper so you can have more ideas. The more ideas you can get on that paper, the more things you can put into practice. So let's start over here. Is there one that you guys think that you want to share with everybody? Do you want to start or finish? Go ahead. Teach in a different environment.
We also had like a quiz show type.
Quiz show. Great.
Develop skits.
Okay, wonderful. When it's good weather, I'd love to have class outside, or I'd even take them to a park sometimes, and we'd sit in a park and have class and things. Field trip, very good. I was teaching a money management class, and I take the guys to the local double-wide dealership, and hey, let's look at how affordable homes can be. You know. They love going looking at the homes, let me tell you. But good ideas. I had a skit that we did for one of our classes, and I even had sound effects and a commercial. And so we would have a commercial and sound effects and all kinds of things, and it was a lot of fun. Next table here. Go ahead.
Puzzles or games?
Object lessons, okay.
Video clips.
That's fun. I'll show you a video clip here in just a few minutes.
Where they could write a song or poem.
Song or poem. Okay, student. All right, great. A rap. Students doing a rap. I mean, a lot of your students love to do a rap. Okay, next table. Very good. Illustrated how some of those kinds of things can really affect the body and affect how the body works. So role play using a volleyball team and different members in the volleyball team as part of the body of Christ with different roles that they had. So excellent. And these were with girls that loved to play volleyball, so they really knew how the team should function. Table in the middle. That's you guys.
Show and tell. Kind of have dress up in a certain way, provocative way. Not too provocative. Don't get me wrong.
As a character or something? Okay, okay. Sure. So illustrating how not to dress and yikes. Yes. What's that?
Have a
funeral. Mm-hmm. Wow. Sure. Mm-hmm. I took a group of students on a field trip to a funeral home. And the funeral director talked with us, and I let him know ahead of time. He was a friend of mine, and so we talked about what we wanted to cover there. But it was dealing with issues of death and dying and grieving and things like that. And it was very good. Sexual purity class? With a mirror in the casket.
Diseases that you could get, and it's like, one out of four die every month from this, and you look in the mirror and it's like, are you one of those four?
Very good. Wow. Mm-hmm. I think the back table, anything you want to share? Okay, using skits and things like that? Okay. I know one thing that Dave had mentioned is even doing a skit and videotaping the skit and then watching it. And he said sometimes they'll watch it over and over again, and as a result they're learning that lesson over and over again, but they love to watch themselves on video. So that's a neat idea. Over here. I know you guys talked about using music and songs as illustrations for different points. And so that's really good. Was there anything else? Yes. Testimony? And even your personal testimony as you're teaching? Absolutely.
And, connected to an internet site that would relate, that has resources or information that pertains to social.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And give them, absolutely. Or even just give them a sheet that has web addresses of different things that would be more information on the subject. When I teach the money management class, I have a whole list of helpful websites in financial management forms, and I like the free stuff. And so we actually spend part of the class time looking at those things. And even we'd even go online with our students and check their credit report at annualcreditreport.com. That's the one that's free. Not the one that they advertise. Next, the table. Current events, wonderful. Britney Spears talking about some of the different things going on in the news. And a lot of times our students are interested in what's going on today because they really don't get to know a whole lot about that. So, anything else? Human videos? Oh, what's that? NUMA videos. Okay, wonderful stuff. That is powerful. Mm-hmm. All right, and I think that was all the tables. Is that right? Did I miss anybody? I hope you wrote some of these things down. One of the questions that was asked, too, is how can we do PowerPoint in our classroom? I really wanted to do some PowerPoint stuff in my classroom, and we didn't have a projector. We did have a TV that we would use for videos and things, and we always had people donating computers to the ministry, old computers and stuff. And I thought one day, I bet there's some kind of a device that you can hook up to the computer to put that picture on the TV. And there sure was, and it didn't cost much at all. And so I parked an old computer right next to the TV in the classroom, and we had PowerPoint in the classroom. And I started developing more PowerPoints for different classes. And then recently I discovered that the Teen Challenge in Canada had a PowerPoint for all the group studies. And I want to just show that to you here just for a second and what that looks like, if I can get the mouse over here. Did it come up? Nope. Ah. Still didn't come up. Now, how do I get this to work? Only one up at a time, you think? Is it there? Okay, great. Good. And so this is the attitudes, and I did a little editing here. And I also put the assignment sheet. And, of course, this would be, if you'd be interested in using something like this, we could easily make this available. And you could put it, you know, adjust it to how your class does, your center does group studies. But we put when the projects were due and things like that. We memory verse. And actually, the student manual has an older memory verse than what the New Living Translation changed here in the past few years. They did an update. And so this is the new Living Translation. And it has a lot of good things in here. What is an attitude, a pattern of thinking, an opinion? And you guys are all familiar with this if you teach this course. And I like some of the illustrations that they had in here, too. Lady there, attitude is everything. How did I develop these attitudes? And so I'm just going to kind of flash through this thing. But I think this makes it kind of fun. Instead of everybody's head down looking into the book or you looking into the book, you can just kind of bounce off the PowerPoint and discuss and have some great discussion on some of these things. Yes, and I can make some. I'm still working on some of them, doing a little bit of editing, but I have a lot of freebies. If any of you have a flash drive, I can give you tons of stuff. So we can do that. And hopefully we'll have it on our website as soon as that's up from Global Teen Challenge, and maybe even Alan can have some of these things too. Lots of scripture verses. The teacher that developed this used a lot of scripture, and of course a lot of these scriptures are mentioned in the group studies, and so they have them as part of the PowerPoint. And so you can easily have some great discussion using these scripture verses. Where should I start developing new attitudes? And so on and so forth. So I like this thing here. A little movement there. But I think this is a great tool. I was wrong, yeah. Good little illustrations. And one of the things that we want to do, too, is update these to the new versions of the group studies. So that's why I'm a little slow in getting them out, because we want them to be up to date with that. Now, listen to this, though. I called Canada Teen Challenge to see what, you know, I said, hey, these things are great. You know, and can you send them to me? And they said, you know what? We don't even use these anymore. So we don't teach group studies with a teacher standing up and lecturing. What we do is use it as a discussion time. And we have small discussion groups and have teach group studies in that method. And I said, can you send me some information on that? And I never did get that, so I'm still going to try to work on that. But that would be interesting. Using it as a discussion group and not a teacher lecturing. But I think that's kind of what we're trying to get to with some of this, is, you know, some different ways of presenting the material. Well, I think we're done here. There's a lot on here. This one's got a lot of material. And I think somebody put a lot of time into developing these, as you can see. And there's at the end, once it ends, there's a lot more scripture verses that they go through. So let me get back to, well, actually, I want to show you a little video right now, if we can. Is that okay? Everybody good with that? This was the QuickTime version, and they're free. And it has hundreds of topics, and they already went through all kinds of movies and do little clips for illustrations on these topics. And it's specifically for sermon illustrations or classroom illustrations. And where is that one? Let me see. Wing something here. Let me see if I can. Wing clips. Yeah, it's wing clips. That's it. And I just ran across that the other day. I just looked up sermon illustration movie clips, and it popped up. But a great way to get people's attention. I was at church the other night, on Wednesday night, and the pastor used four different clips from Man, what was the name of that movie? Antoine Fisher. And I'd never seen the movie or anything, but it was powerful, and he was teaching on forgiveness. And these were very, very powerful clips, and everybody had everybody's attention. And this was a guy who was in the Navy, and it was the relationship between him and his counselor, and dealing with abandonment issues and anger and all kinds of things. And Denzel Washington was the counselor in that movie. But these are just different possibilities. I think it's easy to, a lot of these things that we talked about today are very easy to do, but what you have to do is put them into practice. And Dave talked about that earlier. You don't have to be a creative person. You just have to discipline yourself to try these things. That list that you have there, try these things. Go down that list and try to incorporate these different methods in different classes that you're teaching. And as we talked earlier, try to include all the different ways that people learn. Because you might have your favorite way, but that's not everybody else's favorite way. And so it's just trying to be creative in these teaching methods. Let me see if there was anything left from our slide here. Creative teaching. The fourth challenge. We have to find that. And I need to get rid of the movie, I think. And how do I do that? Grab it and move it out of there. And we have to get rid of that one. Attitudes. Wow, I got a lot of stuff on here. Sorry about that, folks. Attitudes. Are we there? We were there. Okay. We will be there in a second. Okay, we'll zip through here. And we're at the fourth challenge, is that right? Oh, here we are. How to become a teacher your students will never forget. Predictability versus impact. The greater predictability, the less the impact. Now, those of you that were here last night, saw that movie, Freedom Riders. She was not a predictable teacher, was she? She had some kind of surprise for those students all the time. And the students would be scratching their head. How about that one time where she had the line game and they would stand up and answer, you know, move to the line when she asked the question and then step away. And she had the, notice how she had the classroom arranged. Did you ever see that arrangement before? The desks facing each other? She had people move to different parts of the classroom. You know, I used to do that when we came to the anger and personal rights class. Come in and say, okay, I want you to sit over here, and you to sit over here, and you to sit over here, and then we talk about personal rights. The less predictability, the greater the impact. The greater the predictability, the less the impact. But now look at this. The less the predictability, the greater the impact. Bet you didn't see that one coming. The less the predictability, the greater the impact. And now the fourth challenge. What is your level of enthusiasm? Now, Dave already talked about enthusiasm. You know what? I mean, I love teaching group studies. And just about every class I'd walk into, I would start out saying, you know, guys, this is really good stuff. This is my favorite class. And I found I probably said that just about every time. This is the favorite one. This is really some good stuff. And we're going to have fun this week, and we're going to really get in some good material. And if you come in there with a blah attitude, your students aren't going to be very interested. You know, you have to be excited about the material and excited about presenting that material and excited about what's going to happen in their lives that week. There's some answers to some problems that these students have that you have there in that material, and you're going to help them. And I just heard testimonies even here today of how different group studies have helped people. The anger and personal rights class, you know, the personal relationships with others class, you know, attitudes class. I mean, there's some really good material here, and you need to be excited about it. Creative discipleship training is life-centered, not theory-centered. It's about life. It's about living. It's you know, that's why the Bible is so relevant to us, even though it's thousands of years old. And I would even go on to say the group studies is still a relevant thing, even though it's 30 years old, because it's based on biblical principles. And that doesn't get old. It still works. Questions, comments? Anybody have anything you want to add? I think we need to wrap it up, don't we? We have to head soon to the restaurant. But I hope these...